start the hour as we like to do every hour with some headlines. You don't get SportsCenter as much, so we try and fill that, give you a little bit of headline feel. And we start with one that this has been tweeted out about 30 minutes ago by Lindsay Theory, our ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Los Angeles Rams, has quote tweeted an LA Times article out there that says the LA Times reporting that Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has told high-level staff from several departments that big gatherings such as sports and concerts might not be approved until 2021. So getting a reminder that local government's still trying to figure out what to do and how to best deal with everything going on in a pandemic world. WNBA news, the New York Liberty have traded all-star Tina Charles to the Washington Mystics as part of a three-team deal on Wednesday. It's a complicated deal. New York gets the 12th pick in the WNBA draft from Washington, as well as the 9th and 15th picks from Dallas. The Liberty will also receive Taylor Hill from the Wings and Shatori Walker-Kimbrough from the Mystics. Dallas gets Washington's first-round pick in 2021, New York's second-round pick in 2021. A lot of moving parts here, but it's a reminder that we are right around the corner from getting the WNBA draft, which you'll be able to watch on ESPN. And also, lastly in the headlines, Dak Prescott's frustrated. He's frustrated with the media. He's frustrated with the conversation. And he's frustrated that it's been turned into a big deal that he had what he's terming was just a dinner party. His quote, to the reaction that we've all had over the course of the last few days to the reports that he had a party over the weekend, his quote, I understand and accept that there are additional responsibilities and media scrutiny that come with being an NFL quarterback, but it's very frustrating and disappointing when people provide completely inaccurate information from anonymous sources, especially now. To set the record straight, I know that we all need to do our best to socially distance, and like everyone else, I'm continuing to adjust to what that requires, but the truth is that I was with fewer than 10 people for a home dinner, not a party, on Friday night. So he sets the record straight from his own mouth to what was going on. His first take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Getting a little bit of your take on when you'll be comfortable going back. Dr. Fauci's comments that we've been talking a lot about over the course of the last hour are out on ESPN.com in an article where he points out that, in his opinion, sports won't be safe to return unless it's done in a quarantined way with no fans in the stands. And as also referenced in that article, there's a Seton Hall Business School survey that was done that showed 72% of the people they surveyed would not be comfortable going back to live sports when they're reopened. That's why I've asked you what you're comfortable with. 888-729-3776. Are you going to go back? Are you going to participate in it? You're going to let that sort of moment ride out for you. 888-SAY-ESPN at Jason Fitz. You can also tweet me. Getting more no's than I expected on Twitter. I thought that I'd find out that people are alarmingly pro going back, but we haven't seen that yet. We'll get some of your take coming in just a moment. But I'm excited for this. I got to admit, I'm excited for this. I get to give you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What we're going to do, the QB Continued series happens every single day. We break down a different team on First Take. They look at the quarterback situation. They talk to somebody from the team, around the team, and they give you a little sense of what's going on the quarterback position specifically. Well, we all know where my fandom lies. I'm sitting here talking to you right now wearing Raiders sweats, a Raider hoodie, and a Raiders hat because I bleed silver and black. You all know that. So QB Continued today happens to be breaking down my beloved Raiders. I'll give you a little bit of my thoughts, but first we'll get thoughts from somebody that's actually on the team right now. As Cleveland Farrell, the debated fourth overall pick from last year, who came in and had a up and down rookie year, joined First Take today to talk about Derek Carr and competition within the Raiders.
I mean, I just feel like competition brings the best out of everybody. And Coach Gruden preaches that, you know, to the fullest extent. And obviously, I love DC. DC is someone who took me underneath his wing the second I came in. And, you know, obviously, a lot of fans might portray him as like, you know, he's kind of iffy and this, that, and the third. But I love him to death, and obviously, we're just trying to bring in the best group of guys we can have in that quarterback room to kind of bring out the best out of everybody, and we're going to go from there.
I appreciate your love for D.C., Cleveland. Thank you for being on the show. But I must ask you this question. I understand that you love him. My question is, do you believe in him? I know he can play. Uh-huh. He's not a scrub. He completed 70% of his passes last year. I got respect for the brother. But do you believe that he is the franchise quarterback for the future, the guy to move forward with for years to come?
I definitely do. I definitely feel like DC has that in him. I mean, we wouldn't have gave him all that money for no reason. I mean, you definitely got to look at how things went last year. You know, obviously, the situation with Antonio didn't work out the way that we wanted. And obviously, we had a very young receiving core. And that can be tough on the quarterback and the receiver. So it kind of goes hand in hand. But I feel like we're heading in the right direction with whoever goes out there. So I'm excited for DC and, you know, Marcus too, and anybody who might get in the draft.
Well, they traded Khalil Mack for draft picks. One of them turned into you, and people were surprised. You were projected as a first-round pick, but how high up you went. And then you had your rookie season, really good against the run, not a lot of sacks, usually defensive ends, especially when they do the kind of grunt work and are good or stout against the run, or tend to be a little underrated than when they put up the flashy sack numbers. What was your evaluation of your rookie season?
Oh, I feel like I had a good rookie year. You know, I put up some numbers in probably every category. I would just say, just with the different way that, you know, my team was asking me to play, because, you know, I don't know if you watch or not, but I play inside and outside. And I was just a little bit of a different mix-up for me, because I see that as my potential. And luckily, I feel like we have a very young group as a defensive line, still learning to play together. But I feel like, you know, obviously, it's like that steak, you know what I mean? You can't cook a well good filet mignon in like 2 hours. Like, it takes time, you know what I mean? But when it's ready, it's gonna be ready. So it's
no
just
question.
Exactly. And she know what I'm talking about. So, you know, I feel like year two is gonna be truly special, because I've been putting that work in for sure.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I don't know if I can remember a quarterback that's more sort of vilified by a fan base, and I don't know that I understand why. I get tweeted all the time about Raiders takes, particularly about Derek Carr, because many of the fans have decided that Derek Carr simply isn't good enough. I would challenge that concept. Look, I'm not saying that Derek Carr is the next Aaron Rodgers, and unfortunately, in his MVP year for so many people, that became the comparison in his MVP caliber year, I should say. That became the comparison. It suddenly became Derek Carr is going to be Aaron Rodgers good. The fact is, most teams don't ever have Aaron Rodgers good. It just doesn't exist to that level. So what? Who do you actually have at quarterback? Derek Carr last year, with receivers that nobody's ever heard of, completed 70% of his passes for 4,054 yards, 21 touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 100.8. Now, I know stats don't say everything, but those stats, his completion percentage was better in a head-to-head comparison than Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, or Dak Prescott. His yards per attempt was on par with all three of them. In fact, his interceptions, the second lowest of the group. His quarterback rating, the second highest of the group. You can look at him statistically and see that he's a quarterback that continues to perform at a high level. And that's what's maddening. Is he spectacular? No. Is he good enough? Yes. And should that be good enough? As much as that's a shocking answer for many people, I believe it is. We've decided that Derek Carr is the villain because he doesn't take a lot of risks, because he doesn't take a lot of chances. And I understand that. But I would challenge everybody that is standing up today saying Derek Carr cannot be the future quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. I would challenge every Raiders fan to say that, to at least go back in your lifetime like I have and remember the quarterbacks that you actually grew up rooting for. If you are 43 years old like I am, that list, 43. That list is comprised of more names like Todd Marinovich than it is names like Rich Gannon. Derek Carr doesn't get the credit he deserves. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. Now, we're going to continue, as we do with the QB Continued every day, to get an expert on Straight Talk Wireless. We're going to get some of that, everything for less, only at Walmart. We're joined now by ESPN Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez. Paul, I was just waxing my thoughts on Derek Carr. So give me your mindset on Derek Carr, the quarterback.
Waxing poetic, Jason, as always. Hey, you know, you went old school on me, and I know I'm a few years older than you. So if you're going back to Marinovich, I'm going to go back, and if I'm hoping you're wearing your Zubaz Raider pants right now, you know, because if we're going to talk old school, I mean, I grew up with Plunkett and Mark Wilson, and Wilson was the villain, and Plunkett could do no wrong. Plunkett was the guy winning Super Bowls, and it was ugly and it was dirty, but he was winning. And that's the one thing that with Derek Carr, I believe, and Raider fans today is, they think back to 2016 and how much he was kind of a gunslinger there, how he was extending plays, how he was playing at a league MVP level, really, until the broken ankle in the next to last game of the season. And he hasn't really been that same guy ever since. And yet, you look at the numbers, career highs in passing yards last year, career best completion percentage over 70%. He is the Raiders franchise all-time leading passing leader in terms of passing yards. And yet, there's still something missing for a lot of Raider fans. And Carr fans will tell you, well, he's missing a wide receiver number one. The Antonio Brown experiment blew up in their face last year, and they're still trying to recover. And Carr detractors will tell you he's just not the same guy since breaking his ankle. In my expert opinion in all this, they're both right.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense, Paul. I would agree that he's become more hesitant since the injury, but I would also agree. I mean, you look back to some of the games last year, and it would be like a trivia contest trying to figure out who he was throwing the football to. The wide receiver right. position was decimated. So look at this team moving forward now. If the argument has been he doesn't have the weapons and we're going to continue the quarterback series with Derek Carr, how does he continue this year? Do they have better weapons for him in your mind?
Well, not unless they draft or get that wide receiver one, because that's the biggest glaring hole out there, right? I mean, like I said, the Antonio Brown thing just blew up in their face, and they were still trying to recover from it down the stretch of the season last year, because that offense was really kind of built and geared towards an Antonio Brown. So unless they draft somebody or find somebody on the free agency scrap heap that can fit that role, then there's going to be that built-in excuse. And yet, you see what Darren Waller did, explosive as a playmaking tight end. Josh Jacobs, who, if he doesn't miss three of the last four games, is the runaway winner of Offensive Rookie of the Year. That offensive line, which was beat up all year, it still kept him fairly clean. So there's not a lot of, and I hate to use this word, excuses for him, but there's always that built-in one about he doesn't have that playmaking receiver. And yet, if you look at certain plays in certain games on certain tapes, these guys, whether it's Zay Jones or Tyrell with both aching feet, I mean, guys were getting open, but there are also a lot of drops. And that affects then his confidence, not only in himself, but his confidence in his receivers to go ahead and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to let you make a play. He had confidence in Crabtree. He had confidence in Cooper until he didn't any longer. And you saw what happened after that.
We're talking to ESPN Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Give me your thoughts on the draft for the Raiders, particularly because there has been some speculation that they're interested in Jalen Hurts or a quarterback that they can attain in the third round, that sort of level. Do you project that they will be looking at quarterback position in this year's draft?
It depends upon who you talk to. And we talked to Mike Mayock yesterday, and he's obviously never going to show his true hand to us. He has his board, and he's going to go that way. Because on one hand, the Raiders do have five picks in the top 91, and that's great. On the other, they don't have anything from 20 to 79, and that's Mayock's sweet spot. So I can see them trying to trade back from 19 and get back into the second round because they don't have a second-round pick. He likes his third-rounders. Mayock said, you know, having three third-round picks is almost like stealing. And if they're doing their job right, that's three starters they can find. So when it comes to the quarterback position, he could not praise Derek Carr enough. And here's the simple fact here is that this shutdown, every workout being virtual – all that does is work in Derek Carr's favor because, A, he already knows this offense. Even if there was no virtual workouts and shutdown and lockdown, he's already going to be going into the offense for the first time in his career, going into the same offense three straight years. So they expect him to take another jump. So whether they look at somebody down the road or not, that's always could be the case. I mean, teams always say, you know, you should draft a quarterback every two or three years anyways just to see what's out there, just to keep going. Gruden loves his quarterbacks. But keep this in mind, too. I mean, they got Marcus Mariota, whose skill set more closely resembles what Gruden wants to do on offense anyways. And, oh, yeah, they got Nate Peterman, who Gruden likes a lot. And they still have DeShone Kizer, and they don't know what they have in him because he never got a chance to play in a game last year.
We're talking to ESPN Raiders reporter Paul Gutierrez. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. One of our analysts I was talking to the other day said that, in his opinion, Gruden has to have a quarterback that he feels can beat Kansas City, that he feels can outperform in that sense, and that there's a sense to him that Carr can't do that. Can Derek Carr be the type of quarterback that actually beats the Chiefs?
Well, he can't beat them in Kansas City. We know that. I mean, his right. stats there are really, really bad, you know, just to put it bluntly. And whether it's in the cold or in Kansas City or what have you. Now, again, there's this weird dynamic with Derek Carr that he's kind of leveled off, and yet you saw how well he played in 2016 before the broken ankle. That's why I think there's a lot of speculation. I know our colleague Mel Kiper yesterday mocked Jordan Love to the Raiders at number 19, which I thought was a little outlandish. But, hey, who knows? I mean, the draft is a crapshoot anyway. So Jordan Love, a lot of people see him and compare him to Patrick Mahomes. And if that's what you need to do, if you can't beat him, join him kind of a philosophy, then you let Love sit for a year or two. You're not really tied financially to either Carr or Mariota beyond 2020, and then you kind of go that way with a fresh start in Las Vegas. But again, is that the way you want to start this new rebranding in Las Vegas with a lame duck quarterback who's not going to be very happy with Mariota, who doesn't really know the offense, and you're going to suffer for it in the division regardless?
You can follow him on Twitter at P. Gutierrez, ESPN. Paul, as always, I appreciate your time, my friend. Stay safe out there. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, man. And like I said, man, invest in those Zubaz pants. I know you got them.
Oh, man, 100%. I'm bringing them back. There we go. I'll go head to toe on all of it in this ridiculousness. I want all of the – look, I'm just going to admit to y'all, like, I'm going to spend an uncomfortable amount of money when they finally release the Vegas Raiders stuff and I can buy branded things. Look, there's a lot that can be said about Derek Carr, the quarterback, and this is QB continued. And as I've said many times about Marcus Mariota, somebody that I have experience with from living in Nashville so long, Marcus Mariota is the type of teammate you want. He's the type of quarterback you want in a quarterback room because he is the ultimate teammate. I've told the story before, but last year as the Titans were prepping to play the Ravens, it was Mariota that went to the coaching staff, no longer the starting quarterback, no longer the franchise guy, and said, hey, put me on the scout team. Let me be the scout version of Lamar. I mean, that's a level of lack of ego that you rarely see. What they've done is they've created a quarterback room in Carr and Mariota that's going to be competitive, but it's also going to be supportive. There is something to that. It's also filled with guys that are ready to live in Las Vegas, which is its own challenge for many professional athletes. All of that, though, doesn't mask the fact that Derek Carr, is he better than Patrick Mahomes? No. Will he be better than Patrick Mahomes in his career? Not in my mind. Certainly no. But do we have any assurance if the level of standard for your division is we've got to find a Patrick Mahomes? I'm not sure you're going to find that ever. So when you're talking about somebody that is great as Patrick Mahomes is, you have to finally put them in their own category and ask yourself, do we have a quarterback that's good enough to win? That's the real question here. Can you win games with Derek Carr? My answer to that is simple. They've done it in the past. They've done it in the past when he's had offensive weapons that can play. They've done it in the past when he's actually had the chance to get comfortable in a system. And frankly, they outperformed the expectations of many last year without Antonio Brown and with a group of wide receivers that you've never heard of. Part of the reason they did that is Derek Carr. Now, is he the same quarterback that will throw the ball out of bounds on fourth and goal and absolutely make you tear your hair out? Yes. There are ups and downs to Derek Carr. That's why he's not the next Patrick Mahomes. Is he good enough to win football games? The answer to that, clearly. Is he affordable for who he is as a quarterback? The answer to that, yes. The contract is favorable. The player is capable. And when you have those two things together in a world where you've decided to pay your offensive guru head coach $10 million a year, you paid John Gruden because you believed that John Gruden could get the most out of Derek Carr. In fact, I would argue that's been happening. Unfortunately, in the time that that's happened, the narrative was already set. I don't know that I've seen a fan base with less in their quarterback sort of history, because as Paul mentioned, yes, you've got, you know, an era of quarterbacks for the Raiders that were great in the 70s and early 80s. But for most of us, we didn't see him play. And what happens is fans always want their quarterbacks to stand up to the next level, whatever that level is. So if you've got a bad quarterback, you just want them to be okay. And then they become okay, and you want them to be pretty good. And then when they're pretty good, you suddenly want them to be epic world beaters. And the reality of it is most quarterbacks aren't epic world beaters. So you look around the spectrum, and at some point you say, what do I have? Who do I have? Am I maximizing who I have? And can I be happy with the results that I get? I would argue that the Raiders' best strategy going in for QB continued is to let Derek Carr go through the year. And if he doesn't manage to keep the job, it's because either he didn't perform or Marcus Mariota suddenly earns a chance. Either of those are fine. What I wouldn't do if I was the Las Vegas Raiders is take the time right now in this draft when you still have so many holes on defense and use any of those prime pieces to address the quarterback position when there isn't a sure answer in the draft at that position. The reality is simple. You want to beat Patrick Mahomes? Maybe you should stop looking at your quarterback and start looking at a defense that simply hasn't been capable of stopping Patrick Mahomes. Maybe when you look at that side of the ball, which they've tried to do some in the offseason, but when you look at that side of the ball, maybe you should ask yourself, hey, how can we build the best defense possible? Because the best defense is the most realistic way to shut down Patrick Mahomes. Suddenly you don't need 40 points from your quarterback if you can find a way to stop the other guy from putting 40 up on you. That's my take on the Raiders. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And I want to get your take. Donovan in Virginia's got a Raiders take. We'll let Donovan get in real quick. Donovan, what do you got on the Raiders?
Hey, what's going on? As far as the Raiders, I trust Derek Carr because I watched him last year almost make the playoffs with no number one receiver, a damn near rookie tight end, a rookie running back. I feel like we should draft Justin Jefferson from LSU or the other receiver number one from LSU. And just trusting Derek Carr, man. And as far as going back to sports, I'm going to go. I'm going to just have a gas mask on. That's about it, man.
I do like that idea of putting something on when you go, and I like all your takes. By the way, I think the Raiders in the draft would be wise to go. If C.J. Henderson's there at 12, we've all seen it in the mocks. You take the corner available there because the drop-off after C.J. is pretty hard. But I also would – I think any Raiders fan right now could do jumps for joys if Jerry Jeudy or Henry Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb end up getting their name called with the Raiders. We'll keep taking your take. I want to know if you guys are going to go back to sports when they open them back up. We've seen some studies that say maybe people are going to be hesitant. I want your take on it. Are you going to go back? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some of your take. Plus, Kevin Durant was not happy with the way the media portrayed him versus certain teammates when he was in Golden State. You'll hear about it, and you'll hear the reaction all coming up next on First Take Your Take.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Presented by Progressive Insurance, I'm Jason Fitz. When everything opens back up, are you going to go back to sporting events? Before there's a vaccine or whatever there may be, are you going to go back to watch your favorite team? Will you do it in person? This is all based on Dr. Fauci's comments that sports, when they return, will need to be without fans and in quarantine, in his opinion. And a study released that showed that 72% of the people they surveyed would not be comfortable going back to a sporting event live without some sort of vaccine existing. So I want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Some of the Twitter responses, most of the Twitter responses I've gotten have really leaned towards the not going back. However, people have pointed out that Clay Travis did a poll on his site with over 50,000 responders that got a much different answer. So obviously that's why I'm asking everybody to get your thoughts on it. Paul in Illinois, you going to go back when everything reopens?
Hey, Fitz, the only way this works, I think, on the grand scale, is it has to be a stepped approach. You can't say, you know, Dr. Fauci coming out saying that no fans are going to be allowed until 2021 or whatever. That's a very bold statement to make because we still don't know a lot about this, but you know, maybe the first step is the competitors come in and, you know, a personnel they play for 3 weeks, just them, and just give them a say, okay, if everything goes good, next we're going to allow family members and just give people something to play for. The mental health of the country and of the world, we have to start getting back to some level of normalcy. I'm a motorsports guy. We had a tractor pull that was supposed to happen indoors, a big one for us. In Kansas City, when this all hit, they closed the pub. They shut it down to the public, so only the crew members and the pullers themselves were allowed to go. It worked. There was no cases of COVID in there. It allowed the promoters to do the live feed, which allowed them to generate enough revenue to put on next year's show. Where with everything being shut down, we're crippling the economy. People need some sort of release, and if we take a stepped approach, I think it can work, but we have to be smart about it. I mean, Fitz, if they say you can go to a Raiders game, but you have to wear a mask that they're going to give away at the door, and it's got Raiders logo on the front of it, I mean, it's a little souvenir. It's a safety thing. You know, maybe they only sell 25% of the tickets available just to kind of try to play by the social distancing. It helps get some of the workers back in there, and we take a stepped approach. We've got to start getting it back together. And I hope that with the council that the president put together, you know, these guys can start looking at that stepped approach and see if we can get this thing back on track, because we can't live in fear forever. We have to try to do something to get back to somewhat normal. It's changed forever. There's nothing we can do about it, but we've got to get back to some level of normalcy, and everybody is dying for something.
No, Paul, that's a great take, man. I really appreciate it, and you said it several times, but I'll echo the sentiment of stepped. Bringing people back in stages is going to be important, and, you know, we hear a lot of bold proclamations about when things will get back to normal, but the real answer is we don't know. So as much as we try and prepare, that's why I keep saying it's about preparation, then execution. So it's important that people are preparing concepts, and then when we get the guidelines on what the government will allow us to execute, whatever that may be, then at least we're set to go. We're going to get more of your take in just a second. I know you guys really want to chime in on this, but I also want to hear something that was important today from First Take, or very good from First Take today. Jay Williams joined Stephen A. and Matt to have a discussion about Kevin Durant, who said in a book that local media, specifically this is a book by Ethan Strauss, and local media, specifically Ethan Strauss, who covers the Warriors, favored Steph Curry in the way that they covered those athletes, and it affected sort of the perception on KD. Check out the reaction from Jay Will, Stephen A. and Max.
Kevin Durant, does he have a point? Is he right about what he's saying? Yeah. My response is, so what? What the hell did you expect? The fact of the matter is, Kevin Durant spent his first 9 years of his career. Remember, he was drafted by, you know, Seattle, and then they moved to OKC. First 9 years of his NBA career was in Oklahoma City. His last year in Oklahoma City, he had lost in the conference finals to Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. He goes to Golden State. Steph Curry is not only a champion and the greatest shooter we've ever seen in our lifetime, but he's also the guy that just finished helping beat Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. No way in hell was there ever going to be a time where Kevin Durant received more love than Steph Curry. Here's where Kevin Durant, in my opinion, probably had a problem. People, because you love Steph Curry, you tried to act like Steph Curry was better than Kevin Durant. And that was never the case. Kevin Durant was the better player. Kevin Durant was the best player on the Golden State Warriors. There has not been a time where Kevin Durant was a worse player than Steph Curry. Steph Curry's the greatest shooter we've ever seen in our lives. He was never a better all-around player than Kevin Durant. That's just not true. And Kevin Durant knew that. So when he goes to the Golden State Warriors, if you want to get at him for jumping on a bandwagon and stuff like that, like fans are apt to do, chances are they were using the language and lingo like, you riding Steph Curry's coattails. You ain't better than Steph Curry, when Kevin Durant and anybody who knows basketball knew better than that. Steph Curry was never better than Kevin Durant. Greatest shooter ever, but he was never better than Kevin Durant. Unfortunately, in showing their love and affection for Steph Curry, there were likely people who implied, if not flat out, said that to Kevin Durant. And that's what Kevin Durant found offensive. Not that Steph Curry received more love because you understood he was drafted by this team. It was the fact that people were trying to say Steph Curry was better than him, which was ridiculous.
You know, just to provide another layer of depth and perspective and context on this one, guys. First off, KD and Steph are the best of friends. They talk all the time. And KD has a great relationship with everybody at Golden State. I mean, Rich Klieman is going to do a sit down with Bob Myers coming up on Friday to kind of go through the whole situation and talk it through on the podcast. So it's interesting to hear this. But I think also, Stephen A., to go back to your point, it's about the relationship also that I think Kevin Durant had with Ethan Strauss. You know, since Kevin Durant got to Golden State, he was always painted as this mystery wrapped in an enigma. Right. He was kind of misunderstood. And Kevin has personal relationships with some people in the media and other people. And Stephen A., you felt this because you've been around him. If he doesn't know you, or if he disagrees with what you say, he'll say it directly, but he'll also kind of give you the cold shoulder. And I think, you know, Ethan is an incredible writer. I've been a fan of his for a while. I pay attention to him on Athletic, but I'm not sure that Ethan had the relationship with Kevin Durant that other media members had. that. Now, I know Ethan goes and he meets with Kevin after a game, or he meets with them, you know, in the locker room or after practice. And I think Kevin, that relationship was a little bit different. So it's interesting for me because I do think that there was a little bit of this twist upon narratives here and there in articles written for the article's sake. And I think Kevin found issues with that. Now, I do also believe that Kevin had a problem with the media riling up this issue between him and Steph and about whose team it was. And I do think that played into it to a degree, but also I think the relationship between Ethan and Kevin wasn't all the way there as much as I think it was used at particular times to make it seem like the relationship was there, in quotes that Kevin had said. So just to provide context about it overall.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN app and ESPN News. I'm asking you guys, based on Dr. Fauci's comments and surveys, are you going to go back to sports when they reopen? David in Michigan, what's your take?
Yep, sure am.
No, you're not concerned at all? You're right in day one?
Well, yeah. I have to drive. Actually, I live in northern Michigan, and I'm like 3.5 hours from Detroit. And I'm going to be driving to go see the Tigers of all the teams, okay? So I'm going to be going to see the Tigers, driving 3.5 hours from northern Michigan. And I'm still going, of course. But I listened to that one gentleman who said, you have, 43,000 people can go. I mean, all you need is 6 feet in between each other. So, I mean, let's divide the 43,000 by 6 feet, and six seats approximately. And you could still have 6,000 fans there, and they could have their distance with each other. So
would you not high five? Like, that's one thing I think is just fun, interesting to me. Like, I have this concept in my mind of being at a Raiders game, touchdown Raiders. I want to turn around and like high five the guy next to me or like do something, but we can't. Like, so what do you do with the buddy next to you? Just like head
elbow.
Nod? Is that elbow?
I'm going to elbow you. We can do elbows.
I love it. All right, David, thanks for your take on it. Like, I love the thought of just, you're getting in with the elbow on it. That's the weird part for me. Y'all know I'm a hugger. Can't do that anymore. So, now I got to figure out where else I can go with it. Amos in California. Amos, you going back when everything's reopened?
Oh, yes, I am, Jason. I'm going to go back to my beloved Broncos games because I go there every year since I was 7 years old. I just believe that by football season, this will be over with. I hope.
Well, Amos, man, I hope you're right on it. And, I love you calling even though you're a Broncos fan. We'll forgive that. I got time. I'll try and convert you over to the dark side. Raiders got a new stadium. Come on over. But I do think it's interesting because one thing, and a few people have tweeted me different, mock-ups of masks and what they could look like and hand sanitizers and what they can look like. I think it's interesting for me personally. Part of the going to the games is the experience of being around everybody. So I'm just interested to see what that feels like the first time. Like anything else, we're going to have to find some level of normal, and then we're going to have to figure out a way to accomplish that and get used to it and get back on our feet. That's what we will do. In the meantime, all we can do is take the information we're getting every day and try and react to it as best we can. I'll keep taking your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You going right back? When everything reopens, you right back in the stadium to experience it. I want your take on it. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Plus, Dak will not be attending any virtual workouts without a deal signed. Should he? You'll hear First Take's thoughts on it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the second hour of today's show, especially if you're a Raiders fan, go check out the entire thing on demand. We took a look at Derek Carr, a lot of good stuff there. It's in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One, the Capital One Quicksilver Card. I can't speak. The Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? All right, a lot of quarterback conversation to be had. Obviously we've done that substantially today with the Raiders, but he's not the only quarterback. That wasn't the only quarterback discussed. Dak Prescott was also discussed. Before we get back to your take, which we will do in just a minute, on whether or not you're going to go back to stadiums when they reopen, 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. First and foremost, Dak Prescott has come out and told everybody that he doesn't appreciate the misrepresentation of information and that he's simply at a dinner party with less than 10 people. He made his statement clear. The question is, what does Stephen A. and Max think of the statement, and do they have any problem, furthermore, with Dak deciding not to attend off-season virtual meetings while waiting for a new deal? This is a key part of what Dak has told everybody. He will not attend any off-season meetings, any virtual meetings without a new deal. What does Stephen A. think? Check it out.
It's not a mistake, not by a long shot. As far as I'm concerned, they wouldn't see me. Stephen Jones, who I respect, and I love my buddy Jerry Jones. Here's the reality of the situation. Stephen Jones, lucky he was able to get Dak Prescott on the phone to complain about that little party or dinner that he had at his crib the other night. Because if I was Dak Prescott, I might not have accepted the call the way the Dallas Cowboys have disrespected me. I don't want to hear this nonsense about the 30-plus million he's going to get this upcoming season because of the franchise tag that was placed upon him. The reality of the situation is that he is a quarterback that got paid about $2.1 million last season and still has not received a long-term deal. Ezekiel Elliott received a long-term deal. Jalen Smith received a long-term deal. DeMarcus Lawrence received a long-term deal. Amari Cooper received a long-term deal. But your quarterback, who's never missed a game for you, who made back page news because he missed a practice, that's it, okay? Considering the plethora of injuries you were suffering from before Dak Prescott ever got there because Tony Romo couldn't stay healthy to save his life. Here is a guy that nearly threw for 5,000 yards last year with 30 touchdowns, and you're going to sit up there and tell him that he has to wait to get paid, that you want to dictate the kind of long-term commitment that you want to have with him. First, you didn't want to give him the money. Then you didn't want to give him the terms. Then after that, you wanted to keep him longer than he wanted to stay so you could sit up there and get a bargain on him, and you're wondering why he's so ticked off. If I was Dak Prescott, you wouldn't see me virtually. You wouldn't see me literally. You wouldn't get a phone call from me. I wouldn't accept your phone calls. You could call my agent. You could call my girl. You could call my family. You can figure it out. But the one thing you ain't gonna speak to is me, because there is a flagrant lack of respect that has been shown his way. I understand the economics of the NFL. Max, make sure people understand that. We heard you already. We heard you. Bottom line is, you said it ad nauseum. We get it. But in the end, they have disrespected this man. They're lucky if they get a damn phone, if he answers their damn phone call.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're answering your dang phone calls. Are you going to go back when sports reopen? Are you going to get right in there from all of it? Al, my guy in Pennsylvania, Al, you know we always love talking to you. What are you doing? You going right back or are you waiting?
Oh, I would be waiting, Jason. I mean, the way I feel about it, if it's not safe enough for the ball players, like for a baseball game, if it's not safe enough for the ball players to be sitting in the dugout together and they've got to be sitting up in the stand separated from each other, how can it be safe enough for the for people to get back into the stadium, you know, to watch a ball game? You know, I would hate to see sports being played without fans in the stadium, because the fans are part of the game. You know, there would be no home field advantage if they were playing in an empty stadium for anybody. You know, look at it this way. How weird would this be if the Raiders were still in Oakland and there was nobody sitting in the black hole? You know, they're playing a whole game, home game. There's nobody in the black hole.
Well, Alan, and, you know, I'll double down on that. Vegas is opening a new stadium this year. So's L.A. L.A.'s opening a $5 billion stadium. The thought of these brand-new, beautiful facilities being completely empty and the money that's being lost through that is crazy. There are bigger concerns in the world today, but, it comes down to prep and execution. Are leagues doing what they can do to prep when they have the opportunity to execute that? Coming up next, the Will Cain Show is going to be hanging out with you. There's always a cow. It's like a daily thing. He gets a Cowboy story every day. You know he'll give you his great takes on it. Coming up next, y'all stay safe. Thanks so much, as you do every day, for hanging out with me.